Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, May 7th, 2015, and with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm doing fantastic today. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
That's awesome, and thanks for making the time to be here. And John Martellar, it's great to have you here, and thank you for making the time, too.
Thank you. Good morning. Nice to be here.
And you're sounding good today, which is always nice. Yeah. So, yes, glad you're both here. How about if we just jump into topics? And the first topic that I want to look at today, this is all from you, John. You wrote a piece yesterday explaining why Apple really has to go 4K with the next Apple TV. And I'd love for you to explain that.
Well, after I saw the article at CNET about Comcast offering 4K set-top boxes this year, of course, we know what, in technical language, this year means Christmas. But even so, when I saw that Comcast announcement and read their press release, I thought, well, this is pretty cool. They're getting ahead of the game, Comcast, the bastion of backwardness, sometimes is getting on the 4K bandwagon. And then so I checked with my own provider, DirecTV, and got them to respond to a request for comment and quoted Jade Egstad, who said that, yeah, we're going to be doing the same thing. You'll be able to, right now, DirecTV DVRs can only work with certain Samsungs. I think it's because of the HDMI output of the Genie DVR, I'm not sure. So by Christmas, you'll be able to attach any 4K TV of your choice to DirecTV equipment. So I thought, wow, these guys are getting on the bandwagon. They're talking about having lots of content. There'll be Blu-ray players that support 4K out at Christmas. Where's Apple in all this? And I started thinking, you know, really, we've been hearing about Apple coming out with a new Apple TV at WWDC, a new remote control with a touchpad. So I thought, well, let's just kind of explore this and see where it goes. And I came to the conclusion that pretty much Apple has to do this.
All right. Well, real quick, just because there might be one or two people out there that don't know what you're talking about when you say 4K, can you do or give us a really fast definition?
4K is a euphemism for what's really ultra-high definition TV, which is double the resolution of high-definition TV. So instead of, instead of 1080 by 1920, it's 3840 by 2160. So you get four times the number of pixels. And there's a lot of fuss and talk about how close you have to be to the TV to make it useful.
And how large the TV needs to be to even see it, right?
Right. For example, I've looked at all the charts, and for me, it has to be a 65-inch TV where I sit at 8 feet from the TV in order to take advantage of my eyes' ability to see the pixels. So there is a lot of momentum in the industry to move towards 4K, even though you'll run across articles that say, you know, you really don't need it. I've stood in front of a 4K TV, and it's like looking through window glass. It is just awesome. And I mean by standing in front of, I mean at the distance I think I would watch a 4K TV, and I can see the difference.
Really?
So you can get technical about the pixels and try to do charts, but in the end, it's better.
So I need to ask, though, how much – and I don't want to get us too far off track, but – have you ever done blind A/B testing of that, so that you're ruling out confirmation bias?
Right? In a sense, I have, because I've been in a Best Buy where they had lots of 1080p TVs next to the 4K TV, and so I would stand back and look at the two and A/B test and say, "Wow, I can see the difference."
But when you did that, you knew which one was a 4K ahead of time.
Well,
right?
That's true.
Yeah,
I
learned a lot about, and you could, that's the thing. Confirmation bias is actually a real thing, right? And I learned a lot about this when I did that whole thing comparing 16, you know, bit 44K audio files versus things that are higher depth and higher sample rate. And And when you know what it is you're hearing and you believe that you're going to hear something better, you actually do. Like your brain, they've looked at the brainwaves of people and they respond differently versus if they just, you know, don't tell you, then your brain responds the same. So confirmation bias is a real thing. I'm not saying that's necessarily being applied here, but it's possible. So
in my case, yeah. I was looking at a soccer game and I was looking at the people in the stands, and you know how there's a mass of people and you can start to see the color of their eyes and their mustaches in detail. And it's just amazing. I thought I was looking through a window.
That's quantifiable right there. And that makes good sense. Okay. Well, that actually is helpful. Okay.
So the question is if Apple comes out with a new Apple TV, they really have to sort of think about being with the industry because there's so much momentum here. It's really clearly it's the next generation system. Movies are being filmed in 4K. So if Apple were to release another Apple TV 3 years later than the last real generation, third generation, I think, was released in 2012. So we've gone 3 long years. It would be inconceivable that Apple wouldn't get on board with it. And plus, it would be sort of a slap in the face, I thought, to the rest of the TV industry to say, well, despite all your efforts and despite the enthusiasm and despite the jazz and the quality of this picture, we don't think so. Apple Inc. says, no, we don't think so. And I think that would be an unnecessary affront to the rest of the industry. Apple's all about getting people excited, getting them delighted, and helping them be forward that day that it comes out in June. They'll be looking forward to it. And that creates a sense of excitement and optimism about the future of Apple and what they're trying to do for us. So that was the gist of my article.
All right. Well, what about bandwidth? Because this is something I hear people get worried about a lot. Because if you have a 4K movie file that's streaming through the internet to your Apple TV or whatever device, that's so much bigger. I mean, what does it do to your bandwidth?
You're going to need 15 megabits per second. That's the minimum. And, you know, from what I've seen and read, Comcast is doing a pretty good job of upping people's capability. I got a notice in the mail a while back and said, you know, we've jumped your rate up to 50, and all you have to do is reboot your router, and you'll be at 50 megabits per second. I've got a test network that I routinely get 150 on. Thanks to some Comcast beta testing equipment. So it used to be that typically Comcast was delivering 6 and then you had to pay more to get 12. From what I'm seeing and reading and talking to other people, it's not unusual for residential customers to get 25 to 50 these days and not pay much more than they were paying before, if anything. So you can do 4K with 15. You might get some breakup. The good news is there's a new compression algorithm, H.265, which is better than H.264 and is awesomely capable of compressing a 4K signal for transmission at 15. If you've got 30 megabits per second, that'll be nicer. But I think it's within reach of a good number of households in this country. The days of, you know, a few megabits per second are pretty much gone for city dwellers. People out in the country still have some problems.
Well, what if Apple doesn't go 4K with the next Apple TV? Do you think that kills the product?
I think there'll be a lot of gnashing of teeth and alarm and what is Apple doing and why aren't they with the rest of the industry and why should we buy this device? And we know that there's going to be one down the road. And is Apple being too cynical with our money, expecting us to buy this now and then upgrade to another one in a year? There'll be all of that kind of consumer cynicism about Apple. Instead of a quiet smile and delight that your investment can grow with the future, there'll be this, you know, what's Apple up to? What are they thinking? Are they gotten too big and too lazy and too smug? So I think they have to do it. And it's not beyond their technical capability. I mean, you know, certainly the hardware is not going to be that expensive.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. So here's an idea that I had. And I don't know if this is something Apple is planning on doing, but I could see them doing something like this. Give us two tiers of Apple TV. So we have the 1080p Apple TV, and it also ties into the App Store. And now you can get games and stuff. So your Apple TV becomes a gaming console as well. And then they have Apple TV Pro or Apple TV 4K. And then that's the higher end model that costs more and gives you 4K as an option. So now
that's
we have our $69 model and our $99 or $120 model.
That's a great idea, and have it ready for Christmas.
Well, and they, perfect. I mean, they led us down that path, right? In the most recent event, I can't remember. I think it was March, whatever the March event was. They said Apple TV now starting at, right?
Oh, right. They did.
So they've telegraphed that. I mean,
oh, nice catch, Dave.
In Apple land, that is like the biggest hint we've ever gotten about a future change to a product that wasn't simply announced. So, you know.
Bingo.
Right? I mean, Apple TV starting at. Okay, well.
There you go.
You know, the watch starts at $349. You pay a lot more and get, well, actually no different capabilities other than the way the band, connects together. But, you know, my point stands.
Yes, your point stands. Starting at is a big tell from Apple.
Yeah.
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 All right. So there you go. I bet that's exactly what's going to happen. Well, we're going to have multiple tiers of Apple TV, and I'm hoping that
will it be gold and space gray?
In fact, it still says that on their website. If you go to the store for Apple TV, it says Apple TV, all things entertaining, starting at $69.
Oh my God.
All right.
So they're keeping up with this. And of course you click on starting at $69 and
there's
have
only
exactly
one device.
One option for $69. As an aside, anybody that's looking to buy an Apple TV right now, and the appropriate warnings apply that, you know, there's probably something else coming. You can get them refurbed for $59. A lot of the time, right from Apple.
WWDC is only a month away now.
It is. That's true.
Yeah, maybe we'll get a new announcement. Yeah. So, all right, John, thanks for writing that up. That was awesome. And thanks for your insights on that, too. The other thing I wanted to talk about today is offering up some ideas for Apple Watch owners, which right now, Dave, that's me and you. John, yours is still pending. Sorry to hear that.
Mine is in the dream on status.
Yeah, you're still in Apple Watch purgatory. That kind of sucks.
Yep.
Yeah. One of the things I started playing with a couple days ago, because I've loaded up a bunch of apps, is actually organizing apps on my Apple Watch. And there are two ways to actually organize the app icons. If you're on your Apple Watch and you hit press the digital crown button to bring up the icon cluster.
Hey, and I'm doing this here, Jeff, because I need to organize my apps. So keep going.
Yep. Okay.
I'm with you.
All right. So now, Dave, if you tap and hold on any of the icons on your Apple Watch display, you can now drag it around and you'll watch all the other icons kind of move around it as you do that.
Tap and hold on an icon. Oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah, okay. It still doesn't tell me what apps those are.
Nope.
So if I don't know by the icon, I'm still dead in the water.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one way to move the icons around. The way that I think is much better, and Dave, you're going to have to grab your iPhone for this one.
Of course I am, because my Apple Watch is almost useless without doing stuff. I certainly can't make any settings changes here that are notable without my iPhone. So
Okay, so what you want to do now is fire up the Apple Watch app on your iPhone, and then tap My Watch at the bottom so you get the My Watch list.
Of course.
Top option in the list says App Layout. Tap on that, and now you get a full iPhone screen to work with as you're moving icons around. And now you do the same thing. Tap and hold. This is so much easier. And And I like that we can move icons around, because when you add new apps to your Apple Watch, where that little icon is going to show up in this cluster, it's kind of a random thing.
Cluster's the right word for it.
I had a feeling you'd like that. So I started moving them around, and I kind of stuck with the kind of, I'll call it the cluster metaphor. And I started grouping icons around the clock app. And so the apps that I use most often are the ones that are directly around the watch app. And then the ones that I use some, but I don't need to have immediate access to, those are in a ring around there. And then the apps that I just need occasional access to, or like apps that are included that I just can't make go away that I don't want to use, those I just strung off the top and off the bottom out of the way. So now I have this cluster of apps on my Apple Watch, and I don't have to move the cluster around very much to find the app that I need. And then if I need to get at apps that I just rarely am going to use, a flick up or a flick down in that list, and then I'll get to those.
Jeff, you're making me crazy.
Don't worry, John. I believe that soon you will be able to do this too.
Yes, I believe. I believe. It's coming.
I believe the children of the future. I'm not convinced that this is the right way to deal with this on the watch. And what's interesting is I know that I can tap and hold and then delete apps directly on the watch, except it's not letting me do that now. But I think that's because I've got one app that's desperately trying to install an update on the watch and failing. So I have numerous issues. But
yeah, that kind of sucks. Well, if it's any consolation, Dave, I have not been able to get the delete from the watch to work either.
Well, I have done it. It definitely has worked for me. It's just not working right now.
All right. Well, then you're actually ahead of me, because I haven't been able to get it to work at all.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So there are all kinds of things you can do to organize your apps from the screen on your iPhone. And I've seen where people have tried to make like patterns or interesting shapes. So, you know, this is a cool way, or actually not, it doesn't matter if it's cool. It's the only reasonable way we have to organize our apps. And I'm curious what you listeners are doing to organize your apps on your Apple Watch. And my little ring cluster idea, that's working for me for now, but I don't know if that's the way I'm going to continue organizing my apps. I there may be something that's much better. So I would love to know what you guys are doing. So send me emails at observations@macobserver.com and let me know what you're doing, because I'm always up for some new ideas on how to be more efficient with the tech that I'm using. And John, this means by the time you get your Apple Watch, you're not going to have to go through this learning curve that I'm dealing with. We're giving you your training ahead of time, so you're welcome.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Yeah. Oh, well. By the way, I'm still using the Rode Podcaster this week. Still testing it. Hope I'm sounding good, except for the frog in my throat.
Well, I'll just stop licking frogs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Start. Well, never mind.
And Dave, if you come up with any interesting ideas for better ways to organize apps on Apple Watch, I would love to hear those.
Yeah, my problem is I need to cull out a bunch of them, but I have this. Most third-party apps on the Apple Watch simply are horrible at the moment. And that's because a lot of developers had to develop without the benefit of actually being able to use on the watch. So I have this hope that lots of these apps are going to get better quickly, and therefore mm-hmm. have been leaving them on my watch.
I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah, but it's actually detracting from my experience with the watch, because there's a lot of clutter there, and I really need to just pare down. But I know that means I will miss things because I just disabled the app. So I gotta keep an eye on when updates come in. If they say anything about Apple Watch stuff, then I gotta go and be proactive or reactive and turn that back on. So
right, yeah, and I'll have to do the same thing.
Yeah. But I think that's what I've resigned to do, is just pare it down to the stuff that I will use or do use, and because I think it'll give me a better watch experience. I feel like my watch experience has been hampered so far by just trying to keep too many balls in the air, so to speak.
Yep, I totally get it. Yep. And I've cleared out a bunch of glances that I enabled right away because it turns out they were totally worthless, at least for me.
Totally. Any glance that takes more than 5 seconds to display anything on the screen, I just immediately delete.
Yep.
Which includes Apple's weather glance, by the way.
Yes. Yep. I have dark sky. And that's
Does it come up quickly?
It usually comes up quickly.
Okay.
Not always.
Right.
But it's also giving me my push notifications when it's about to rain or snow.
Yep. Yeah, that's handy. Yeah. I do that with the Storm app from Weather Underground, which was kind of the, it was a predecessor to it. But I really like the Storm app, and it does similar things and has more. But, yep.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. Hey, we're out of time. So, yeah, Dave, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Yeah, and now you know a little more about organizing apps.
Yeah, there I do.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
Yeah, it's just as my voice clears up. We're done with the show.
Oh, great. So we can start now. Oh, wait. Yeah, listeners, thank you for joining us as well. And I really am interested in how you are organizing your apps on Apple Watch. So send me those emails, observations@macobserver.com, and we will see everyone again tomorrow.